Okay, my name is William Pitt. I am the EMS Education Coordinator with Walker County Emergency Services in Northwest Georgia. I've been doing EMS in one variety or another for 8 years now, and I want to talk about something that is particularly important to me. There within emergency medicine, we all have duties that sometimes overlap, but they essentially boil down to a few simple things. Obviously, our first and primary duty is to prevent loss of life, to preserve life. That's the reason that most of us got into emergency medicine. It's a very valuable service that we provide. But beyond simply preventing loss of life, our secondary duty is to alleviate suffering. We do that in a lot of ways. Some things as simple as emotional support, caring through simple techniques like splinting, or at a more advanced level by treating specific conditions that cause pain or suffering to a person. That may be something as simple as applying oxygen, repositioning, things like that. But when you get into a more advanced level, you start using pharmacology to manage pain. And there is a specific area that is kind of underutilized. We tend to undertreat pain in the acute abdomen. A lot of that comes from old fears that we will maybe mask symptoms that need to be examined by a physician later on, or perhaps we're not comfortable making a specific judgment because the assessment of the abdomen is so nonspecific, but through a combination of fear and old, now outdated adages, we fail to manage pain on a large portion of our population who are in significant distress. A specific example that sort of prompted me to start researching more and effective ways of managing this type of condition was a patient that I had very early in my career. It was a young female who, among other medical conditions, had a lot of issues with chronic pain. She was on a lot of opioid pain medications for pain control in general, and she developed acute cholecystitis. So she's having gallbladder attacks. And as a result of these acute gallbladder attacks, she's having frequent vomiting and absolutely excruciating abdominal pain. To compound the problems that she's having presently, she's not able to keep down her normal oral pain medication because of the vomiting associated with this condition. So she has the acute abdominal pain as well as the generalized pain, which is now much worse because by the time that we came to see her, she had been 24 hours without her normal pain control. It got me to thinking, as I'm treating this patient, I had been taught earlier in my career that you have to be very careful managing pain in the acute abdomen. If you over-treat pain or if you perhaps give opiate pain medication to someone who has abdominal pain, you can delay or potentially create a surgery that may not have been necessary or delay a surgery that should have taken place because you have masked or hidden symptoms by giving this patient pain medication. So with great trepidation, I treated this patient. She was in what seemed to be such unbearable pain that I couldn't bring myself not to manage her pain, but it got me to thinking about how much veracity there is to the idea that we can't treat pain in the abdomen. Fortunately, we are not the only people who run into this problem. ER physicians often get into discussions with surgeons. Surgeons want pain medicine withheld until they can perform an assessment on a patient, which may be half an hour, 2 hours after the patient comes into the emergency room. So you have a patient who sits there in agonizing distress. We have the ability to manage their pain at our disposal, but we opt not to because of this fear of masking symptoms. And so because of problems in the emergency room and problems with surgical consults for the acute abdomen, there have been a fair number of research studies into the effect of opiate pain management on the acute abdomen. One particular study that's now a couple of years old but has provided a lot of valuable information and is certainly worth further researching is the Ranji et al. Study on the effect of opiates in the management of the acute abdomen. And Long story short, what Ranji showed was that when you administer opiate pain medication to a patient with acute abdominal pain, it changes the symptoms that are found on physical exam. But what the study also showed that there was no increase in surgeries performed that were unnecessary, and there were no delays in the performance of surgeries that were necessary. So essentially, we have this now scientific literature which shows us that even though we've changed the physical exam by giving a patient pain medicine, we haven't changed their overall outcome in a negative way at all. So what that gives us at our disposal now is the ability to use pain management, specifically opiates. So a lot of systems use morphine, some systems use fentanyl, which is another useful alternative because it's short acting. So if for some reason they need an analgesic-free physical exam, it can be obtained fairly quickly. But we have these medications at our disposal, and we can now use them comfortably to manage the pain of our patient with the knowledge that we are in no way delaying their surgical care or worsening their outcome. From a provider standpoint, we're limited a lot by the standing orders and the protocols and a lot of times the attitude of the system in which we work. So what this does for us, it means that as times come around to rewrite protocols, or perhaps in discussions with the medical director, protocols can be updated, and something that I hope you will strongly consider doing is updating your protocols to allow for the treatment of abdominal pain with opiate pain medicine, either by the creation of standing orders or perhaps on a medical control case-by-case basis. So if your department does not have standing orders to manage this type of pain, I hope that the next time you pick up a patient with acute abdominal pain, you will consider calling your medical control and consider making pain management available to this patient. We have the ability to alleviate a great suffering in a very specific and very commonly treated patient population. And because of research now available, we can comfortably do this without fear of worsening their outcomes.
Have you found success in getting your own medical director or other programs to pay attention to this research and change their protocols and start actually, have you seen kind of an improvement in how we're treating this?
We definitely, our particular system, our medical pain management protocol, allows for the use of morphine to manage pain, medical pain, as long as you don't suspect traumatic injury to the head or the abdomen. So by standing order, you're allowed to use opiate pain medicines to manage abdominal pain, and the availability of that protocol and sort of a shift in provider attitudes, becoming more willing to treat patients who are in pain, then we definitely see an increase in the number of patients who are managed, whose pain is managed appropriately, even in circumstances that at one time would have been kind of an uncomfortable situation for a provider.
Cool. And do you see that happening kind of on a more, starting to happen on a more widespread basis, or?
I think it community as a whole, absolutely. A lot of more aggressive services are above and beyond. I mean, your more aggressive services are more likely to implement these type of changes quickly. But as provider attitudes shift to one that's a little less intimidated by the idea of pain management, I think we're seeing a much more widespread use of these protocols to manage these patients.
Do you think EMS is getting better, not just with pain, but in general at paying attention to research and being much more flexible in protocol and in kind of adjusting rather than, it seems a lot of the history I hear, kind of a lot of people talk about how rigid things used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And do you get a sense that people are getting more willing to kind of keep up with the times and adjust as more research comes out, or?
Absolutely. I think that We like other branches of medicine, know that our future lies in the research that's being performed right now and has taken place thus far. And so you start seeing providers who are taking a more active interest in reading journal articles, both those specific to EMS, like the National Association of EMS Physicians, Journal of Pre-Hospital Emergency Care, a fantastic resource for finding peer-reviewed data with regards to EMS, but also at seeking outside sources from other very well-established medical journals that often have things that are relevant to our interests, like the Ranji study that I mentioned earlier was not specific to EMS, but the results of that study are certainly applicable to us. So things like that, that type of research, even if they are not necessarily aimed at the EMS community, can certainly be valuable to us. And that's essentially the only way that we have to keep growing as a profession, is to look at new research and implement new treatment modalities based on new research, and then to continually revamp what we have been doing based on what studies have shown, you know, over the course of time. So kind of continue to evolve with the times or perish as a profession. And I think we're doing a good job of keeping up with current research and evolving as we go.
Cool.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.